Good mother's cry, cause the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look, and he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see, it's going by the book, it's going by the book.
Welcome back to episode 384. Special guest tonight, Nathan Liel. Check out his website and ministry. Website is watchmanscry.com. Let's get Nathan back on the line. Nathan, welcome back to hour two. How are you, my brother?
I am doing great, Shannon. Thank you.
The microphone is yours.
All right. Well, in part one, and depending on how people hear this broadcast, it might be broken up. So in part one, toward the very end of part one, I was just sharing my prophetic vision dream that I had of a missile strike hitting Hawaii. And then I saw the numbers 1,100,000 appear over Honolulu over the flash of fireball heat. And then I saw another missile approach Spokane, but I didn't see an explosion. All I saw was an orange cloud. I didn't know what the cloud was. I don't know if the missile was a dud and it didn't go off. I didn't know, Shannon. So that's the thing about the handicap of seeing through the glass dimly and darkly. God doesn't give us all the information, but I'm pretty sure, Shannon, that there are other individuals out there. There's probably some people listening right now that have also had visions and prophetic dreams of other missiles in addition to Spokane. So I didn't see the entire strike upon America. That was just one of them, one of the cities. And in this half, in this second hour, I want to talk about the strike on Hawaii, and then we're going to talk about an EMP burst blast that could possibly come to America. Possibly it could not, and possibly it could. Shannon, I don't know, but right now it's open season on America, and I do believe that a false flag operation is in the stages of being planned right now, and eventually that day is going to come where it's supposed to happen. So what I want to say...
Let me interject for the record. Folks, I'm looking at my laptop clock, and on the East Coast, it is 9:11. That's all I will say. Let me give it back to you, brother.
All right. Well, let's start out with that, Shannon. Thanks for bringing that up. I didn't even see this until I called up another brother, and he said, do you see the number? Did you notice the number of the people, the body count? 1,100,000 has 11 as the first two digits, and I didn't even see that, Shannon. So 11 is in this number. Now, as I was saying in the last hour, when I saw this event happen and I saw that number, 1,100,000, and I was arguing with the dream, when I woke up, I wanted to confirm what the population of Hawaii was in those affected areas. So I got up and I went to my office. I told my 18-year-old son about it. We got out the atlas, and then I Googled a map of the Hawaiian Islands to see what they look like. And in fact, I have it open right now. I'm looking at it. And the listeners have that ability, they can look at the Hawaiian Islands. But I saw the flash over Oahu, which is the second largest island, and it reached Maui, which is the third largest island. But between the two, there's also two small islands. One's called Molokai. Molokai, I think that's how you say it, Shannon. Do you know how to pronounce that? And then the other was Lanai.
I'll go with your pronunciation.
Okay, those of you that are from Hawaii, you can correct us. So there's four islands that are occupied. And then there's a fifth one that is used for military testing, so it's unoccupied. So what I did was on Google, Shannon, I typed in the population of Oahu, and it brought up a number, and I wrote it down. And then I did the same thing with Maui and then those two others. The two small ones, one of them has a little over 7,000 people, and the other one has 3,000. And then Maui and Oahu have large numbers. Well, when I tallied them up on Friday morning, now the thing about the population numbers is they're going to be a little bit different depending on when the report was made on this population. Some people are basing it on the 2000 census or the 2010 census or the tourism departments as they fluctuate. So there's going to be a fluctuation. But on Friday morning when I tallied all of the numbers, now in the dream I had 1,100,000. When I tallied the numbers, I got 1,106,000 people as the population.
And when I
saw
that,
that's almost a perfect match.
Oh, I was surprised, Shannon. I mean, I'm arguing with the vision, and then it turns out to be very, very close. And then I did it a few days later, and I brought up different websites, and the numbers fluctuated within a few thousand. And on Tuesday, I did it again, and it came up 1,118,000. So it's going to fluctuate. But the point of this exercise is that 1,100,000 was the number of people's lives that are affected in this explosion. Now, here's the big question, Shannon. Is it the number of people affected, or was it the body count of those that were killed in this explosion? That part I don't know, Shannon, but I'm pretty sure based on how I saw it, the numbers were yellowish-orange, and they looked quite hot. And my first impression is that that is the body count of when this thing happens. And Shannon, how do you share this though? How do you share something so horrifying, especially if you're a resident of Hawaii? That's why when I first announced this on my Survive to Thrive radio program, I said, folks, I'm going to only give part of it, but I can't give the rest. And the information I released back then was limiting, and it really wasn't fair to the discipline of being a watchman. And I had a friend of mine say, you know, Nathan, if you don't share this whole thing, their blood's going to be in your hands because they need something to pray about. So share the whole thing and then, you know, let it fall where it may. So that's what I'm doing right now, Shannon. On this program, I'm announcing that I saw a prophetic vision where Hawaii is going to have a nuclear attack. And I believe that most of the residents that are on Hawaii when this thing happens may be killed. Now, the two other islands, the island of Kauai and then the southeast island, have another few hundred thousand people. So at any given time, the population of all the islands, I found out, is around 1,300,000 and some change, 300,000. So there's 200,000 people that will be survivors when this event happens, Shannon. And I don't know what the atmosphere will be. I don't know how ill the winds will be in the aftermath of this. Shannon, I don't know. So I'm limited in this information.
However,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
What I will add to that from my knowledge, which is limited on nuclear warfare, but I know that within about a 4-mile radius of the ground zero detonation, everything is vaporized. There's nothing but a crater. But out to 45 miles, depending on the topography, you're toast if you're in a 45-mile ring from the aftershock as it spreads out. Shards of glass, anything picked up in this fireball, it just shot out and propelled and, ripped apart, 45-mile radius. You're a little bit safer if you can get out 100 miles, maybe if you got some mountain cover. And I'm just talking from the initial blast, not counting the fallout, okay? Not counting what a nuclear detonation might do to trigger volcanoes in the region to create a massive tsunami or all the other repercussions that are involved from a detonation like that. You can count on this, though. On one of those islands, there'll be no power left. I mean, everything is going to be fried just from the EMP shock alone. Let me give it back to you.
Thanks for those comments. And Shannon, you're exactly right. What sort of tsunami is this going to develop from the Pacific. And for sure, that tsunami is going to engulf Kauai and reach the Big Island South. So I don't know, Shannon, this thing, it's a horrible, horrible event when it takes place. And then that tsunami that ensues, is it going to reach the mainland? Is it going to reach Asia? I don't know, Shannon. I'm just sharing this information. Now, I want to talk a little bit about Hawaii as a strategic tactical target. And then I'm going to talk about Spokane, and we're going to touch the EMP situation. But I racked my brain, Shannon. I never thought that Hawaii could be a strategic target. I didn't know. And so after I had this prophetic vision, I called up Rick Wiles, I called up Augusto Perez, I called up Benjamin Baruch, and I left a message with Steve Quayle and shared with him. Now, he was gone out of town, and it turned out that he was in Hawaii at the time I was having this prophetic dream. And when I interviewed him last Tuesday, he shared a lot of his insight and from his point of view that he bore witness that this was a very dire warning. And I don't want to repeat everything he said. So, listener, if you want to hear that interview, you can go to watchmanscry.com. It's on the front page. You can download it and listen to it. So, Shannon, I don't have the vast military knowledge that someone like Hawk or Steve Quayle has, but I can Google information and I can research. So I've done a little bit of research just trying to find out the significance of why Hawaii would be an important target. And you and I spoke on the phone privately, I believe it was last Sunday, and we were just discussing and hashing out how this could be an important target. Now, first of all, as I was doing some research, someone emailed me a story of a trade show that happens every year in Russia, in Moscow, where all of the contractors that make weapons all over the world, the people that make the bombs and the planes and all those things that destroy toys and break houses, they had a trade show this month. And in that trade show, there was a company that released one of their products, and it looks like a container that's a shipping container, but you can hide a missile inside of it, and the container opens up to fire an ICBM. So this container can be purchased at a trade show, and someone can put it on a ship, a cargo ship, cross the ocean.
Oh, you're talking about the Club K systems, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly.
They can be off the...
Yeah, they can be off the shorelines of Hawaii or 50 miles away, 100 miles away, and fire that thing off toward Hawaii and then say, I don't know what happened, or that wasn't us, or they could sink their ship. And then we wouldn't know who they were if the ship sunk. So I was just looking at this information, just saying, man, there are so many possibilities on how this thing can be carried out. Because in the traditional sense, for the person trying to figure out how they could pull this off, well, traditionally, some people may say, well, you have to have a submarine, and you have to be a big nation like China and have an expensive submarine, or like Russia, and fire it off 1,000 miles away. But today, with all of the hybrid weapon, and people can Frankenstein a weapon from a lot of different weapons that have been decommissioned, and they can use a lot of ways that we wouldn't even think about to fire something like this off. So how it's going to happen, that part I don't know, but it's very feasible that it could.
Let me reiterate there one thing. Folks, this is actual technology on the market that was spotted even recently at some of the military defense shows held around the world. The Club K system, the size of a boxcar, okay, that can be loaded on a railroad truck. It can be loaded on the back of a semi. Of course, they can be brought into any harbor in the world on these cargo ships, and they look innocuous, just like another cargo container carrying Nike tennis shoes or whatever is on there. And the next thing you know, the hatch is armed and the missiles are detonated. I mean, missiles are launched and then detonated. That's how this stuff is planned in many cases by enemies. So, the technology exists. It doesn't have to just come off of a sub or even launch from a ground-based platform under the ground out of a silo. Let me give it back to you.
Exactly. I went ahead and Googled and looked at North Korea's abilities. And, of course, from the ground, from them, they have been investing in their Taipodong missile, and they're up to the Taipodong 2 and the advanced Taipodong. And they used to be in one phase and then two stages and now three. So North Korea does have the ability to have a missile that could reach Hawaii. In fact, Admiral Mike Mullen, I have a report here from Fox News in 09, Shannon, he said on March 27th that a rocket from North Korea could reach Hawaii based on the new technologies that North Korea is doing. Now, would North Korea be crazy enough to do something like that, Shannon? Because how long would their joy be lived? How long would they celebrate and high-five one another if they reached Hawaii and it was documented that it came from them? Not very long. So then that raises the other question. Would they do it, or would they be convinced to do it, or could they say it was an accident, or would China do it and blame it on them? There are so many variables that we do not know. Would Russia do it? Would China do it? Would a false flag rogue element within our government do it? And Shannon, those are the questions that you and I were discussing when we were talking about this last Sunday. And you know, Shannon, one part of me, now, yes, it's true that there are valid threats from North Korea and China and Russia, and most likely when this thing goes down, they're going to play a role and they're going to be blamed, and then the United States is going to galvanize together and come into unity and say, yeah, let's turn them into a parking lot. Let's pay them back. But aside from that obvious information, you know, Shannon, look where we are right now, just economically. Look where we are as a once first world industrial powerhouse, and look how much we have receded and melted without the firing of one bullet here in America. 3 years later, we're weaklings. We're losing our wealth. We have cities in disarray. We have services from fire, police that are being shut down, laid off. The municipal bond markets are about to tank. We have so many budget deficits in counties, cities, the federal government, states. Shannon, we're in a mess right now, and this has all been accomplished under the watch. Well, not all. A lot of it has under the watch of one man, Mr. Obama, the imposter Muslim president, who came in and without firing a shot, he was able to finagle his ways into the White House. And like that grade school ploy that children will do, you know, one kid will pay the ticket, go into the theater, and then open the exit door and let his friends in through the exit. That's what has happened to America. Obama came into office and he opened the back door, and the other czars came in, the other imposters, the other communists, the other invaders, the KGB elements, the Muslims, all of these different elements. They're on our shore now. They have control of the buttons. They have control of the switches. They have control of all the main control knobs. They have the remote control, Shannon. It's in their hands. And it happened while the Tea Party was still waving their banners, and while the well-meaning patriots and Republicans are waving their little flags and saying, we're going to turn this thing around. Well, Shannon, eventually there's nothing to turn around. There's not going to be anything to turn around. So,
you know, Nathan, it's nothing more than a puppet show. Okay, to deflect people from the, it's sleight of hand, folks, to get you looking at the left hand while the right hand is doing something. You mentioned they did it without firing a shot. Folks, Islam, the Muslims, who worship a moon devil called Allah, okay, when they say we worship God, yeah, their God is a moon devil called Allah. That's not the God of the Bible, the actual God, the creative universe, Yahweh God. My point is, they managed to get one of their own into the White House, folks, without even firing a shot. And when you said that, I thought about Sun Tzu.
Yes.
Okay, one of the famous military tacticians. He wrote the book, The Art of War. He said the highest level of warfare is to conquer your enemy without even, or invade your enemy and take over his land without even firing a shot. And that's what they've done. And I wanted to mention, folks, people know this to be true. Even General Tommy Franks, a couple years ago, who was interviewed in Cigar Aficionado magazine, if you want to go and research this, he said it would only take one nuclear detonation somewhere in the world, doesn't matter where, to put America under instant martial law. Then I'll mention that Rumsfeld, former Secretary of Defense, okay, former oil executive, I won't go into there tonight. Many of them were oil executives or part of Halliburton and other groups. The point is he said that if there's any crises here, we will not hesitate to bring in foreign peacekeeping troops to keep the peace on American soil, just like the UN sends their forces around the world. Let me get back to you.
That's exactly right. And Wow, we think alike, Shannon, because I was about to bring him up, Sun Tzu. So that's what we see happening. And what I was going to say about how Obama got into office, Shannon, when we look at it on paper and when we weigh it against logic and reason, it absolutely makes no sense how this man can be in office when there are so many unfinished things, unfinished pieces of paper, unfinished documents or fraudulent documents, or the anomalies are a mile high. And then when we consider the amount of people that have to sit on their hands and look the other way, and the people that feign ignorance or they accuse or turn it around or spin it around saying you're crazy if you believe he's not a citizen, etc. Shannon, when I look at this equation on how Obama could have arrived where he is, there has to be a master, a person, the marionette puppet master in control of this whole thing. And when you really examine all the players, there has to be, without a doubt, a spiritual element of deception, of delusion, of slumber, of apathy, of complacency, to not see what's before their eyes. That's why I believe that when God says, I will send them a strong delusion because they don't have a love for the truth, that's exactly what we see happening. And it's before our eyes, Shannon. So if we could have gotten this far with this anomaly that Donald Trump is trying to scream about, and they just say he's a toupee-wearing crazy man, don't pay attention to him. If we can get this far, how much further is Obama going to be able to take this nation? And that's why I fully, fully believe that there are powers of darkness that God has allowed. Now, God is sovereign, Shannon. And when we pull back our focus, when we look beyond the borders of America and we zoom out to the point where we just see the entire earth as a globe, we don't just see America, but we see the entire thing. There is a divine plan that's taking place right now. And in order for prophecy to be fulfilled, in order for the book of Revelation to come together, God is going to allow certain things to happen. We read in Revelation that the dragon was allowed to overcome the saints. He's going to come down and have his way and deceive. God's going to let it happen. So that deception is, you know, I was talking to Benjamin Baruch on the phone, and I said, Benjamin, I look at this, the Lehman Brothers, the Bear Stearns crash, the Goldman Sachs insider trading, the plunge protection team. When you look at all these things, they make absolutely no sense on how they can succeed without the general population not showing up with their torches and pitchfork. The public doesn't respond, which tells me that there's a spiritual element to this whole thing. And also, when I see the evil that brought us to where we are right now, the insider trading, the transfer of wealth, Shannon, in layman's terms, and I don't want to give credit to the enemy, but let me say this. By looking at these things, and when we look at the spreadsheet and all of the events happening in the markets, there is evil genius that is beyond the brains of a human being behind this thing that's happening right now.
Well, what's Satan's modus operandi? Kill, steal, and destroy. And that's
exactly
what he's done. He's stolen the finances of America. And there's a big whooshing sound as people allowed America to get sold out so they could buy a few more cheaper goods at Walmart and settle for quarter pounders with cheese at McDonald's.
Amen. So there's evil taking place now, Shannon. That's why so many of our listeners, that's why you get frustrated when you try to share with your loved ones. There's a spiritual stupor. It's a hypnotic spell that so many people are under, Shannon. And this thing is so thick. And the Holy Spirit showed this to me several months ago. It's probably been longer than that, that he's going to allow great darkness to come over the land. He's going to allow delusion, great evil. And I've shared in the past my vision of the black tornadoes and the darkness, the dark clouds. The darkness is represented in several bullet points. It's in the feats of evil. It's going to happen through evil men taken over by evil spirits doing bad things to one another. But it's also going to happen in a great delusion. This thing is in play right now, and God is allowing it. Now, I said all of that to say this. Because we've gotten this far, and so many people do not want to believe that things could be otherwise, they don't want to believe that America could fall, it's going to happen. It's going to continue, and it's going to play out. And, you know, Shannon, I look at Mr. Obama, and the guy, I cannot figure him out, because while America, Rome is burning, he puts on a bicycle helmet, and he takes a Pee Wee Herman bike, and he rides around with his little girl up and down these bike trails with a silly grin on his face. He has no concern. He's not worried about us melting. And, you know, you have to wonder, what's going on in his head? Is he grinning?
Nathan, let me ask you a question. Who would be more apt not to worry about the downfall of a country, a American citizen or someone that has no loyalty to the nation at all because they weren't even born here?
Exactly. He is Darth Obama, and he has that hood over his face, and his eyes are blocked, and it's a dark room, and we can hear him squeak out through a croaky voice, "Everything's going according to my plan." And we've seen that Star Wars guy do that. That's Obama. It is his plan. Not only his, but whoever the minions are that he's associated with. So this is where my concern is very disturbing, Shannon. If we've gotten this far, and if we can look at the numbers of his approval rating, which are now below 40%, they're now in the 39s, and he can still walk around with a grin and have no concerns. The reason he has a grin is because he knows what's next, and he knows what the end game is going to be. He knows what the end result is going to be, and he knows that he needs to be reelected. Campaign season's about to start. We're pretty much there. The campaigning's going to go, but in the natural, Shannon, if we looked at this through scholarly examination, in the natural, a person that was a consultant, a political consultant, in the natural would be pulling their hair out if they were the consultant of Obama right now. They would be saying, "Sir, we do not look very good right now. Things aren't well. You're not going to get reelected. It's bad." But why is he happy? So this is what I have to conclude, or this is what I'm concerned about. He knows that he's going to allow an event to happen. A false flag event is in the plan, and he's going to sacrifice parts of this nation. To what point, though? This is the big question. Is he willing to sacrifice 1,100,000 lives in the state of Hawaii as a false flag operation so that he can get reelected, so that all the Americans will be mad at North Korea or Iran or whoever it's blamed on, and we'll have a mass stampede to the recruiting offices where the young boys will want to join so they can go shoot the bad Muslims, quote unquote. So that's,
well, let me answer your question by asking you a question. Did Solomon not say that there is nothing new under the sun?
He sure did.
Does history not repeat itself in many cases? I have but to point back to December 7th, 1941. As FDR said, the day that will live in infamy. And I played a short 2-minute clip that was an actual news archive reel, okay, that was describing the events of December 7, 1941. And historical scholars have went back and they pieced together the evidence that shows time after time when we've been involved in conflict, either we initiated it many times or we had the intelligence and allowed it to happen, okay, to serve a ulterior motive. And the best information I have on this, Nathan, is that FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the president in 1941, knew that a attack was coming, and instead of being on heightened alert, they allowed it to happen because at that time we were not committed to World War II. If my memory serves me correctly, we needed a reason to get into the war. And on that Sunday, when people were sleeping, they were, you know, taking it easy. Some were going to church. All hell broke loose. And the attack happened. And that was the ammunition that we needed to get into the war. And, you know, let me ask you, Nathan, why are many wars fought? What's one of the reasons behind them?
To generate an economy for the bankers and the warmongers, and to turn political opinion around and to spin the real news that's happening in front of the people and to...
But wait, you mean that people can actually make money off of war?
Oh, yes. It's the biggest market.
Absolutely. Just like 911, folks. And there's video that you can play where the military contractors got together and they had a meeting and they said, "This is a golden time in history. There is going to be fortunes made, and if you get into the military contract system, okay, private military contractors, food service, you know, folks, people know this to be a fact. Anytime you have an ailing economy, okay, and things are in the gutter, and all the focus is on a man in the office and, you know, lowering the polls and so forth, the way they can resurrect his rating and get the economy going again is to get us into a war. And that's exactly what FDR allowed to happen. Subsequently, we were in the war, and you all know the rest of history there. But it was allowed to happen for nefarious purposes, and it's a shame to even contemplate that's possible. But then when I look at the events of September 11th, you know, about 10 years ago, come next month, was it any different? I believe that history will show us the truth, and that we went into that September 11th was pulled, in this case, by enemies among us, my friends. Okay, you only have to listen to the testimony of Dr. Stephen Houston, a Christian man, by the way, where he was interviewed, and his handlers, because he worked with the MI6 at the time, said this was the best operation the CIA has ever pulled. And although 3,000 people lost their lives in those towers, okay, mostly clerks, secretaries, janitors, everybody else, for some reason, called in sick that day, did not show up. There were no diplomats killed in that building. Okay, we had a reason to go into Afghanistan to restore the pipeline to the Caspian Sea, to get the opium production back in, and to get us into Iraq. And billions and trillions of dollars have been made, many of which were put in the pockets of some of our politicians who have interest in them, companies like Halliburton. That's another show. I better not go down that road, Nathan, but I'm here to say that the perfect storm is being created right now, my friends. We're sitting with record lows. Wall Street crash is in play, and they need a solution. They need a reason to turn this thing around. I need a mechanism to turn this thing around, rather. So we could be looking, Nathan, at the next Pearl Harbor being imminent.
Well, that's Pearl Harbor, Shannon, December 7th, 1941. This December 7th, Shannon, that's 70 years anniversary.
Uh-oh, I didn't see that.
70 years, one generation. Here we are again.
70 years. Now, you know, we were talking about this on Sunday, Nathan, and let everything be established about the two or three witnesses. I know this has been on the minds of some people out there. You know, think about this. We've got 50 states in America, right? Okay. I don't know all the strategic importance of Hawaii. I know that we still have Pearl Harbor. We've got a base there. Do we still have a sub base there? I believe we may.
I have a list right here, Shannon, and if people want to go to militarybases.com, there's a link for any state, and if you click on the Hawaiian link, it brings up a Google map, and it puts a little flag over all the bases. And get this, Shannon, Hawaii has a base on, and Steve Quayle talked about it this last Tuesday, on the island of Kauai. They have an installation radar accessories to spy, sniff, and look under the water as well as above the water, as well as in the sky, to make sure we're not attacked. But in addition to the Kauai, let me just read this off. I have it right here. We have Bellows Air Force Station on the island of Oahu. In fact, Shannon, Oahu has 8 military bases, 8 of them. So they have Bellows Air Force, they have Hickam Air Force Base, there's Fort Schaffner, that's for the Army, Schofield Barracks, there's a medical center, there's a Coast Guard base on, this one's on Maui, there's a Marine base, there is, the Coast Guard has a Strategic Integrated Support Command on Honolulu, as well as the Barking Sands, that one's on Kauai, and then on Oahu, there's the Navy Computer and Telecommunications Master Station, also on Oahu, and then Pearl Harbor. So basically, Shannon, Hawaii is our fort to guard from any invaders, any invasion.
Okay.
From Asia.
Okay, now, let me ask you this. Going back to what Tommy Frank said, Nathan, he said it would only take one nuclear detonation anywhere in the world to plunge us into martial law. Now, if I were in control of this country and I had nefarious purposes, like I believe some leaders in control now do, and they wanted to create contrived chaos to further their demonic plans, because folks, there's no question about it, the leaders that are currently running this country take their marching orders from men and women that meet behind closed doors, and if you follow the chain and command structure all the way up, you're going to find Satan at the top. But my point here is, if I had to pull this and I had to live in the country, okay, would I want to put on the lower 48, as we call the other states other than Alaska and Hawaii, or would you want to detonate a weapon on an American territory or state, preferably, that you can limit the fallout, yet it hit on American soil nonetheless, and now you have the wherewithal and the impetus to launch a retaliatory attack. So Hawaii would actually be a perfect location, because if they were to hit Hawaii, okay, that would limit the fallout here on the mainland, yet I'm sure, just like 911, you know, they knew instantly who had pulled it.
It would have the psychological impact of sacrificing.
Articulate it better. That's where I need. Yes, that's exactly right.
Yeah, sacrificing that amount of population to the altar of the New World Order. And Shannon, you mentioned something when we were on the phone Sunday. Hawaii has in her past and in her history human sacrifice to the fire god. Remember we were talking about that?
Right.
And these evil elements, they love their sacrifices of souls. So in their minds, in their twisted, dark, pathetic way of thinking, do they think that this would be a worthy sacrifice to the fire god, the volcano god?
Oh, my goodness. Could this be the ultimate fire sacrifice to Satan? You know, we mentioned one of the reasons, Nathan, that wars are started is, okay, to jumpstart an economy, to generate cash flow for all the people that would get the contracts as a result, to, you know, factories, whatever. What about Satan? Does he benefit from major mass casualties? He does if they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ is their Savior and the spirit leaves the body. That's an easy job. If he could kill you folks instantly in the moment and twinkling of an eye and take your life, that's better for him rather than have to, you know, work on a person over a lifetime. And you know what? That's instant souls in hell that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ in any type of mass catastrophe like that. Because when that happens, there's no time to make a decision. It's instantaneous if you happen to be there in ground zero. You're going to be in heaven or hell.
Exactly. And you know, Shannon, what is the ultimate plan? There are different ways that this thing can play out. One of them, of course, is it's a false flag operation to get America to the ultimate in martial law, police state, soldiers in the street, peacekeepers, etc. Everything that we have been warning about and seen in prophetic dreams and visions, that could be accomplished. But also, in addition to that, they would blame it on terrorism, so they get to use their terrorism card, which makes all of us ultimate suspects. The TSA pat-downs will be nothing in the future after this thing. Okay, so they accomplished that, but then the other thing is they have their war. They blame it on North Korea, Iran, Russia, or China, or some other rogue element. So now they get their war, which allows the bankers to make their money. But on top of that, what kind of war will it be? Will it be us attacking, or will it be the other way around? Now, I'm going to be sharing in the second hour about what God revealed to me, that Lamentations is coming to America. And what God showed me, Shannon, is that when this thing starts playing out, America is going to be under a police state. We're going to be defeated militarily. We're going to be defeated when it comes to the war effort. So here's another way this thing could play out. And I wanted to leave this thing open, because what if it's in order to get us to the New World Order, you know, the one world system, the beast of Revelation chapter 13 that rises out of the sea, America needs to be defeated. So Hawaii could work perfectly as a staging ground, as a refueling ground, as a hub, as a midway island for an invasion force from Asia or China or Russia. You know, kill all the residents, and then they're right there, and they don't have to refuel from as far away. So an invasion force, strategic location of Hawaii would serve a purpose very, very well for that scenario. So which one is it, though, Shannon? That's the big question.
Well, you know what? That's a possible scenario here, too, and that's what we're talking about tonight, folks. And I tell you what disturbed me is our own President Abomination went on record the other day, and I'll paraphrase him. He said, do we look at the risk of nuclear war and other terrorist events as credible? He says, well, you know, it would be unreasonable not to do so. But he said, I don't fear as much a terrorist group as I do the lone wolf.
I saw that, yeah.
You know what? The magnifying glass now is being put on individuals out there, folks. And if you keep following this way of thinking, they're looking at one particular class, and that is the Christians. Okay? You know, everybody talked about this terrorist attack over in Norway with that assassin, and they tried to label him as a Christian, and I don't believe there's any proof that he was. But you know what? Really, the new class of terrorist in the eyes of these government agencies, and even in their own documents, is, you know, the people that believe in the Bible, the people that believe in a literal translation of the Book of Revelation, you know, Christian extremists, as they've come to know us. Now, we're not the people that go out and cut people's heads off, Nathan. Catholic Church, as an exception, back in the Dark Ages. But, you know, brother, we may be adamant about some things, but, you know, we still don't cut heads off. Now, I do know a class that do, and that's the Muslims. But that's really disturbing. So could this be contrived chaos and blamed on an individual? Will it be blamed on one of our enemies right now? Venezuela, maybe? Iran, maybe? It's food for thought here tonight. But it could be the perfect scenario to get us launched into yet another battle. I've lost track of how many that we're fighting already. When I have Al Cuppet on sometimes, he tells me that we're in as many as 120 countries. So, you know what? It's happened before. We're putting this out for food for thought. You received that dream vision about Hawaii. Would it be in God's character, Nathan, to warn his watchmen of events coming?
Of course it would. And Shannon, this is something else I want to. When we look at these events, if we stay with our feet on the earth and our perspective is only from the ground, we're going to be deceived, because we won't have the big picture. We won't have the full picture. And then we're just playing it out as the quote unquote patriotic, nationalistic citizen of his or her given country. But when we zoom out and we look at the prophetic picture, this is what I see, Shannon, because when I look at these events and then I weigh them against what we see in Bible prophecy, it opens up a whole new world. But as an example, we read in Revelation chapter 13, verse 1, I stood on the sand of the sea and I saw the beast rise up. So we know the beast, and we see through research of Daniel 7, Daniel 8, Revelation 17, 18, the beast is not a human, Shannon. The beast is the end time empire that's going to consist of 10 regions, 10 heads, 10 horns, I mean. So we have in Revelation the prophecy that this beast rises up. Now, if you go to the website of the European Union, they have the earth divided into 10 different economic unions, just like the European Union. And it has Canada, the United States, and Mexico. It's on their website, Shannon. This is not a conspiracy theory. It's their plan to have these unions. South America is a union. Okay, so the world is in 10 regions. It's broken up into pieces. Daniel 7 says the beast rose up and it broke the earth into pieces. There were 10, and it talks about the 10 horns. So that's what these regions are. Now,
oh, Nathan, let me ask you a question. Wouldn't it make sense then that if you had three independent nations presently and you wanted to combine them into one of these, wouldn't you want a good road system to connect them? Anybody heard of the NAFTA superhighway that they built from Mexico that'll go up to the mid-region of the USA, paved road? You wouldn't want to have a border anymore, would you, Nathan?
No, the NASCO corridor is what you're talking about, right? And see, all of those things are happening behind the scenes. George Bush got that thing going, the Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America. So here's the question, though, Shannon. Revelation 13 says the beast rose up out of the sea. So let's say on January the 1st, 2012, we're just saying, for explanation's sake, Shannon, let's say on January the 1st, 2012, this beast rises up out of the sea and we have the world divided into 10 regions. Now, on December the 31st, the day before this happens, the Bible doesn't tell us what happened the day before. It doesn't tell us what happened the week before or the year before. So we don't know why the beast rose up as 10 regions. We just know it did. So as Bereans, logic would tell us that some event, some catastrophe, some financial meltdown, something on planet Earth will convince the whole Earth that this is a good idea. Now, when we go further in Revelation 13, it says in verse 3, now, I know that Hal Lindsey put out his theory in the 70s, God bless him, but, you know, those theories that he put out as far as the beast is Rome and the whole thing is in Rome, Shannon, that was incorrect. That's not how it's playing out. It's the whole world.
The whole Absolutely. World. He was mistaken, folks.
He was mistaken, and God bless him, though, okay? But in verse 3, it says, I saw one of his heads. This is talking about the beast. Now, the beast had 7 heads, 10 horns. The 7 heads are the 7 continents, meaning it's the whole world. So right here in verse 3, it's, by the way, it's not a man that got shot and he comes back to life. The beast is not a human, Shannon. It's the end time empire. Now, in verse 3, it says, I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded. So let's translate that. I saw one of the areas of the earth, one of the continents, as if it had been mortally wounded.
Wow.
And the deadly wound was healed. The world marveled and followed the beast. And it says further down that the wound was called by the sword. The sword means war in the scripture. So the mortal wound is going to be caused by war, Shannon. So now let's look at the picture. The beast rises up out of the sea. It existed as 10 regions, but one of the regions had a head wound, meaning it had a scar from war. Or is that scar from war caused by a nuclear explosion or several of them? So Shannon, this is what I believe. Based on what I see happening in the world right now and based on looking at this prophecy, I believe in order to get us to Revelation 13:1 for the beast to rise up, there has to be an area of the earth that's going to be mortally wounded, very bad. So that means we have to have World War III before the beast can rise up, which perfectly fits the scenario of America getting attacked, America getting nuked, America getting nuked in several cities with those suitcases, the 7 or the 5 or the 30 or however many they are, and or Hawaii getting nuked. So there has to be some bad, bad destruction happen to America, because I believe that that's who it's going to happen to. Shannon, America has to come down because they're the leader of the pack. The world needs an even playing field. George Soros has talked about this. All of these other evil, twisted, demented bankers have admitted to this, that America needs to be brought low for the New World Order to rise up. So the only way this is going to happen is several fold. One of them is a nuclear attack. And that's why now, when we look at this and then we look at Revelation 13, it gets a little spooky, Shannon, because is this thing soon to play out? That's the big question.
Revelation 18:4, in 1 hour, it was destroyed. You know, and folks, is this just the words of Nathan and myself? Look at the prophets that God has sent in the past, okay? God has been warning for decades even. And these are just some that I know about, Nathan. We had Brother A.A. Allen that saw the Statue of Liberty. That, by the way, has a cup. That's interesting. What nation was the golden cup in God's hand, you know, that served God? It certainly wasn't Iraq.
Shannon, may I interject real quick before your break?
Yes.
I have a prophetic vision dream that I had in, I have it right here, February 26th of 08. In this prophetic dream, I saw the Statue of Liberty, and she had a white cup in her hand, and she took a sip of it, and then she started staggering drunk. It's on my website under Prophecy, Dreams, and Visions. And then get this, Shannon, get this. I heard the words come out of the heavens saying P, the letter P, died today. Now, I don't know what P means or who P is. I believe that was a hint. Whoever or whatever this is, it starts with the letter P, or he starts with the letter P, is going to die, and the Statue of Liberty is going to find herself swaggering. So I wanted to mention that because on the second half, I want to talk about some of the candidates that we may be seeing approaching.
I will just throw the names out quickly. Dimitri Dudelman, Henry Gruber, Dr. Jonathan Hansen, David Wilkerson. Go look at their prophecies, folks, and you're going to see a picture start to form of who is actually in time Babylon.
Amen.
I believe it's none other than America, Brother Nathan. We are at literal ground zero, okay? And you know what? God has dual fulfillment. Nathan's going to talk some about Lamentations. What a timely name. Lament, to cry, to wail, to weep for the things that once were, you know, for a great nation that once was. Does God do dual fulfillment? Absolutely he does. And so we're in some perilous times. You want to take a break now, Nathan?
Yes, let's take a break.
Let's take a break, folks, and we're going to be back here in about 7 minutes with Nathan Liao. And if you're just tuning in, I want to welcome you for the first time, if you're here. Episode 384 is this episode. We do a nightly program, 8 p.m. to 11 Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. Saturdays we do 7 to 10. If you've missed some of the great broadcasts we've had this week, oh my goodness, I got a treat for you. We've had The Hawk on Tuesday night. We had Brother Steve Quill on last night. All these fantastic shows. And tonight, it's my privilege and honor to have Nathan Liao of WatchmansCry.com. You want to check him out on the website, also Facebook. He's also on Survive to Thrive every week, and we'll get more dates and times for you out there that would like to tune in and not miss those broadcasts. Let's go to break, and then we're going to be back for the final hour with Nathan Liao. God bless you.